The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters, as has been said already, my name is Bishop Gabriel Kumoji of Keta Akachi Diocese in Ghana. And I'm sure many of you will know Ghana because of the soccer matches, World Cup. We met United States 3 times in the World Cup, and Ghana eliminated United States 2 times. By the last World Cup, you eliminated us. And so we have a very good relationship here then. I am here to share with you the mission of the Catholic Church and our mission in Ghana. But before I will go into that, I would like us to look at the gospel reading today. I think it fits also very much the message of the mission. Today we hear Jesus telling the 72 that the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Usually we read this and speak on it when we are preaching vocations. Vocations to the priesthood, to religious life, and to marriage life. But today, this message comes as a word for mission, that when we look around, we will see the need to proclaim the gospel as very, very urgent and necessary. And it is so vast that few people cannot be the only one to preach it. Not only the religious, not the priests, not only the deacons, but all of us as Christians. Baptized Christians are commissioned, and they say it is one of your responsibility to proclaim the message. And unless all of us put our hands together to proclaim that message, it may not go that far. We heard already in the gospel reading, Jesus choosing 12 people, close friends as apostles. And today in our gospel, he is choosing 72 others who will be the disciples who will go to places he wanted to go. And they will also proclaim the same message which Jesus has given them. And in this, he was telling them very urgently that the gospel reading or the proclamation of the gospel and evangelization is very urgent. And so everyone must focus on it. We shouldn't be distracted by things around us. We should not be distracted by ourselves. We should not be distracted by our needs. But we should focus on Jesus and the message he has given us. And when we read today's gospel, he said we should not carry money bag, sacks, or sandals. We should not be distracted by our needs, by material things. Focus on the message of God. Proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. Then even he says something very interesting and strange for some of us, that don't greet anybody on the road. And I'm sure some of us will be wondering why Jesus should not allow people to greet each other. Because even in Ghana, when you meet people and you pass by them without greeting, it's an insult. It's an offense. And then they will say either you ignore them, you disrespected them by not greeting. So if a person is coming from work, we have a greeting to greet him from coming to from work. If a person is coming from farm, you greet him with the greetings coming from farm. And then when you see a person working, you have a greetings which you also greet the person. And so you cannot just pass by anybody. You know the person or you don't know the person, you greet. That shows respect and show also recognition. But we also understand this statement of Jesus, don't greet on the way. Because some of our greetings can probably take about 10 minutes. When you see the person, you ask, how are you? Say, I am fine. How is your wife? My wife is fine. How are your children? They are fine. How is your work? They are fine. How is the household? And everything in it is fine. When you finish, the person also asks you the same questions. How are you? How is your wife? How are all the children? So can you imagine if you greet about 5 people or 10 people on the way? The gospel may not be proclaimed. It may be half day for you just greeting people on the way. And so you will not have the time to preach the gospel itself. That's why I understand that Jesus is telling us, go, proclaim the message. Stop the long greetings and courtesies on the way, but proclaim the message. Keta Akachi Diocese, we have the two names, Keta and Akachi. So that means I have two cathedrals, a cathedral and a co-cathedral. And I'm sure you have some of them in the country here. It's a diocese which was evangelized by missionaries, some of them from United States, the Divine Word Missionaries, and also the Society of African Mission, SMAs. Then also we got the Kumbonis who came to evangelize our area. They established the church in these areas. And now we have about 29 parishes in Keta Akachi Diocese with about 78 priests. And when we say parishes, one parish may have what we call the outstations. Here you may call them as mission stations. So one parish may have 10, 20 outstations, which have churches, but they don't have resident priests there. So you stay in the main station, the parish, and visit these areas regularly. And so you prepare your program at the beginning of the year or sometimes at every 3 months, and you distribute to them and they know when you are coming there. In the absence of the priest in those stations, we have lay people who are catechists, lay people who instruct, teach, proclaim the gospel to these people, and then prepare them also to receive the sacraments. And so they conduct services when the priest is not there on Sundays. And sometimes during the weekdays, they gather the community to have morning prayers and evening prayers. And then they prepare them anytime the priest goes to give the sacraments, very especially the sacrament of reconciliation and the Eucharist and other sacraments. It is a big day for the people in the village. And the people in these areas, especially in Kita Akachi, are subsistence farmers. They farm, you know, rice, we have corn, and we have some of these vegetables and legumes. And so they also exchange it sometimes with those who are fishing, because in the same Kita Akachi, the southern side is the Atlantic Ocean. So those living by the ocean are fishermen in the sea. Then we have also a river, a very big river, the Volta River, which also stretches from there. Those living along it are also freshwater fishermen, and they use canoes. And in our places, it's also inundated with floods, ponds, and many places. Maybe if you listen to the news about Ghana, last week I was here when I heard that there was these high tides in the sea, and one of our villages has been submerged, and 67 houses had been submerged with a high tide. And this is what we go through most of the time. And the priest goes to them regularly. So most of our parishes have a truck, which is a pickup truck, which the priest use, and a motorbike. And in some places, some of the stations are reached by boats or canoes. And so they go regularly to visit these people. And we don't exclude anyone because there is no money or because the parish is not self-sufficient. No. The responsibility we have is to proclaim the message, to go into the harvest and help the Lord in getting many people for the kingdom. And so we have no excuse to say the people are poor, they are not able to pay or to contribute much in the mass, so you cannot go there. The diocese have to see that we reach out to these people. And so that's why we are very grateful to the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, who gives us the opportunity every year to come and preach to you, our brothers and sisters, to support that mission. And when Jesus says the harvest is abundant, and so we should pray for laborers, many of us are also supporting in various ways so that laborers will be effective in these fields. I would like to talk about three institutions in our diocese. One is an institution which we have, St. Teresa's Institute for Physically Challenged Children. And we bring in the physically challenged because when you look at a fast society, a poor society, those people neglected or left behind are the physically challenged. And so they will not understand why you should take your physically challenged to school. Some of them suffered from polio. Some of them suffered from various things. And then they were left. So we have the institution where they are brought to have a basic education. Then they can go on to high school. But in the basic education already, we give them trade to learn leather work. They learn also like printing. They learn computer, they learn cookery, dressmaking, and other trade which can be beneficial in the villages. So that when they go, they will be effective, they will be also able to support the society and support themselves. So they don't depend on anybody any longer. The second institution we have is called a Good Samaritan Home, where we bring mentally challenged children. We bring them together, and then we try to help them. And you know, mentally challenged, like from birth especially, many of them consider them as spirit children who don't need to leave because they bring bad luck to the family. And so some of them in some parts of Ghana, not in our area, they are even killed. And so many of them, we don't see them. No, like one missionary came to our place and ask us, do you have a lot of people with Down syndrome and things? I say, you know, we don't see them. Because sometimes the families are ashamed to bring them out to public. So I will not say we don't have them, but we don't see them. But when this institute was established, you could see many. We received many in the place who have this mental defect and then also defect in the group. And we help, and the brother congregation which is there is taking care of them. And they care for them and give them basic learning, identifying colors, and every instruction in order just to let them also be able to do something for themselves. Some of them are now taking good care of themselves. They don't depend on anybody. They can take care of themselves. This is very impressive. I went for a visit in one of our villages, and one of the people there is from that village. I didn't know. Then he saw me from afar, and he called. And then he rushed to me, and we embraced each other, and I greeted him. I said, are you from this village? He said, oh, yes, this is from his village. And we started I was trying to ask him questions, and I mean, things, or converse with him. I couldn't speak too well what he understand, and he is also communicating, and which I didn't understand. But the joy of that relationship brought everybody out of their houses, and they were looking, how is it, am I relating to such a person, you know? And so the mother came forward and told me, this is my son. And she was so proud to identify now, this is my son. I know before he went to that institute, the mother may not come forward. They will not know who are the parents. But now, the institute has transformed the life of this person, has transformed the life of the whole society. They are proud to say, this is our child. He is from here. You know, it was a great delight for me to see what the church has done in this situation. The third group, which I want us also a great support for, is the women's institution. We have one woman institution, St. Agnes, where girls have dropped out. And you know, in situations of poverty, the first child whom they will stop from going to school in our areas are girls. They would like them to stay at home to help their mothers, to help in their household chores. But the boys send them to school because if you leave them in the house, they don't know what to do. They cannot cook, they cannot wash, they cannot clean. So let them go, and they take the girls. But that disadvantages the girls in our society. And especially when the world and the whole church is looking at girl child education and participation in our society, we took it as an option to bring them back. And so this institution, St. Agnes Institute, brings them back to give them lessons. They are again do their basic education to high school. They learn trade. They do dressmaking. They are doing cookery, catering. And we are hoping to introduce and even introduce them to, they are doing computer now, introduce them to other avenues in society so that they can compete with the rest in society and maybe also be responsible to their whole families. These are things which are happening in our diocese because we want also to communicate to the world that everybody is loved by God. Everyone. However they are. Everyone. And we cannot leave out anybody. So when Jesus calls us that the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few, and we should come, pray to the Lord to send laborers, it means all the people of God. And so that's why today I stand before you presenting this so that you can contribute to the worldwide mission which the church has embraced, and it is also the mandate of the church. So in your pews, you will see this envelope in your pews. You can put in your donation and put it in the collection. If you are not ready today, you can take the envelope home, put in whatever you have, bring it to the church, and the church will arrange it and send it to the the Chancery Office at LA, and they will let us have it eventually in Ghana. Thank you for your generosity, and may the Lord continue to bless you with his peace. Amen.